Welcome to Conversamos. My name is Francisco Escobar, and I'm the host and content creator of this network, Latin Entertainment. Today, we're discussing gardening and its diverse uses and applications, from individual gardens to community gardens, from urban setting to suburban, all here on Conversamos.
Yeah, yo, is it that wrong? I'm making a song, taking it back for the platform that I formed. Music's helping me transform. I run the
conversation. We like to give a business spotlight to Flower House Group, an international flower delivery service that specializes in roses in the altitudes of the Andes. Check them out at flowerhousegroup.com on Instagram at Flower House Group. Also, this episode's fundraising initiative goes to Simplemente Humano Long Island, an organization that educates and supports underserved communities of color by providing informative workshops and assistance with resources that aren't readily accessible in the Long Island area. Check them on Instagram at Simplemente Humano LI. Now, the first question, what events have led you to gardening?
So for me, it's mostly because, since COVID hit the U.S., a lot of the work that we've done here on Long Island, specifically at my job, is providing food to mostly Latino families of color who are in need. So we've been giving them like non-perishable items, but we realized that there was a lack of fresh produce to give to these families. When we did get it, they were really, really excited about it. But that was when we realized like, okay, like right now we only can provide them with this fresh produce, you know, vegetables and stuff when we get it, you know, donated to us. But what can we do so that in the future, we don't have to rely on others to provide them with this food. We were like, okay, like, what can we do? We said, okay, let's do this community garden. Obviously there's a lot that goes into it. Like not only do you need the seeds and the soil and all that stuff, but then you need irrigation to make sure, you know, you have the water and all of that stuff. And, that took a lot to start, or even like the landscaping to like, you know, set everything up. But after we were able to talk about it, it was really exciting to like finally see it start up. And it was all unfortunately, because of COVID. But now it's something that we'll be able to hopefully provide food, like more fresh food for our families now.
Thank you. And Esteban?
Gotcha. So for me, the events that led me to self-gardening, quick backstory, my aunt, we live in Queens, like I said. My dad, thank God, he owns a house in Queens, and he rented out the second floor to my aunt because, you know, it's kind of hard to own a house in New York City. So essentially my aunt moved, but when she lived here, she loved to garden. So the front of the house, she would always have flowers, and she would have tomatoes just on one side of the house. So I was fascinated by it because I love nature. So throughout the year, she lived here for about like 7 years. I just would observe her and just see what she would do and how she would like water the plants at a specific time and how she would prepare. So that kind of led me to self-garden myself. So when COVID hit, well, I was planning on gardening before COVID, but I ordered the seeds in about January or February, and then I began to start them inside because I had a little like seed germination kit. So I set them down inside. I had a seed map, which essentially provides warmth for the seeds to be able to germinate, as well as some lights for the seeds to germinate. So I always really was interested in self-gardening, but then when COVID hit, I had really free time on my hands, which is when I cleared up a space in my backyard, which is about 16 feet long by 8 feet long with 8 feet wide. And that's where I put my little garden. So the events that led me to garden was just my family's upbringing and just experience. And I really liking it. So yeah.
Last year I knew I wanted to garden, and I knew that this year I was going to. I think COVID would provide an opportunity for me to have the time, and as well as my new apartment had the space to garden, because a lot to do with like embracing my identity and self-sustainability, because for the mining people, gardening, the agricultural work was something that was very, very invested in the communities across various indigenous groups. And so this is my way to reconnect with ancestors. And so for our next question, kind of going off that, is how long have you been gardening and what are the benefits?
Okay. So as an adult, I've just now, I think this is my third year of having gardened, each one kind of progressing as far as the things I add to it. Before then, like I said, I'd probably gardened from the age of 5 to when I left at 18. And even then, I still helped around the garden when I was away to college, which was 7 miles down the road from my parents. So I really was still available. And the second part, I'm sorry.
What are the benefits?
The benefits, certainly the benefits besides having fresh food. And as all of you know, that once you tasted fruit fresh from the vine, you can certainly tell differences from the store. But having food, saving trips to the grocery store, my biggest thing is I love squash and zucchini. And so it's great to not have to worry about making trips to the store to get those, but rather just go out and have them harvest, pluck them as needed. In March I had my baby spinach and my red leaf lettuce. And so going out, cutting off leaves for my salad and not have to worry about it going bad in the refrigerator if I don't eat it fast enough. So the accessibility to it, as well as the freshness. And of course, you still have a lot of the nutrients from fresh food versus having to go frozen or losing some things through transport. So that's also another benefit that you get, in my opinion.
Well, I am relatively new to gardening. So, all the tips you guys have going on this way. I would say probably like literally maybe a month and a half, 2 months. So I am very new to this, but I definitely wanted to learn for myself, but also to be able to share with the youth that we work with. I think aside from being able to have your own, food for our families, I think it's very beneficial for our kids and as a therapy or as therapy to them. They're able to not only understand, that this is food straight from, the ground, that you can ground yourself in it. You can understand where it's coming from, the importance of it, how, what the health benefits are by, being able to, grow your own vegetables. But also because then they kind of feel like they have something that they have to take care of. And a lot of times the youth that I work with, they feel like, nothing is really important. They have no sense of self. And this is the first opportunity for them to really have responsibility in something and really be able to understand that, there's something out there that you can enjoy and that you can take responsibility of while also using it as a therapy while they are gardening, watering the plants, fixing the soil or whatever. They're able to really just breathe and meditate, pray, whatever they like to do while doing that. So they like it, I think.
And Aaron, it seems like he likes it too.
Gotcha. Yeah, okay, go ahead, Stefan.
Yeah.
There we go. No, he does, although this chicken nugget did not come from the garden.
Yeah.
Full disclosure.
How long have I been gardening? I say I've been apprenticing for about 2 or 3 years, because that's when I really took an interest with my aunt's garden. But I've been gardening now since March. And what are the benefits? The benefits are growing your own food, therapy. Like Brittany said, it's very therapeutic. And I know that sounds so cliche because every gardener said the same thing, but it really is. Like, and personally, I water my own plants. I don't have an irrigation system or like a drip irrigation drip system. I water them, and waking up at like 6 or 7 in the morning to water them is just, and the smell, like just the dew of the plant. It's really the best thing ever. But another great benefit, I would say, is also you learn just about like nature. You just get a better appreciation of nature. Every time I see a bee in my backyard, I'm happy, or any type of insect, which is weird, but I love insects. And the fact that you can say that you grew your own, and people say, oh my God, like, how'd you get into this? And people love it. And I think they love it because everything is so artificial nowadays. You have like all social media, and like everything is like so like human made. And when you see something that's like made of nature, it's like, wow, this is amazing. it's coming from the ground and you see it grow, I think that's really one of the best benefits of gardening.
Thank you. Something to add on to this is that when my plants are like fully grown, fully developed, and I'm actually gonna like, and I'm gonna eat them the following morning, it's so liberating for me to just wake up, take the tomato, take the cucumbers, take the peppers, and just make breakfast as is. Like, I don't have to go to a store. It's just right there for me. It's just a sense of freedom for me to really just have that luxury and privilege. And so, especially in the morning. And so for our next question, how does gardening fit into your daily, weekly, or monthly routine?
Morning routine. So I use an irrigation system. I have with two kiddos, and then I do work from home as an engineer, and my day is pretty full. So I used to do self-watering and realized that here in Texas, especially during this time of year, you can't really focus on watering once for some of these plants, especially. And this one of the things I learned was transitioning from a field in the ground versus pots, right? Pots dry out much faster. And so typically in the mornings I'll come out and check plants, harvests, or a lot of times when I do a lot of my pruning, I'll do that in the morning as well for my plants. Just real quick, 10 minute, and then get the kiddos and I'm off. And then a lot of times taking some breaks if there's things I need to do, some plants I need to transpose from one pot to another, then I'll do that during the day. I have my watering system. I have an irrigation where each individual pot has a drip system that will water. I have four different watering durations, one for 10 minutes and then one for 5 minutes, just in between for the hotter times of the day. And then weekends, I like to use weekends to do more of the larger things that needed either starting new crops or taking down old crops that either they've died through disease or bugs or any maintenance, just to make sure that it stays, you know, fairly clean.
So I'm not that skilled. Aaron's very advanced, but
thank you.
So right now, I mentioned irrigation before. My job is still working on fixing our irrigation system, so we are still self-watering the plants. So right now, I'm usually watering when I go into work. We also have some summer youth employees who also, we've given them the responsibility to also water. And then on the weekends, because we're not there, obviously, there's a house that's right next to our office, and there's a little girl that lives there. So we decided to give her the responsibility of watering the plants on the weekends. So that's, I guess, how it fits into my schedule. I definitely, although I do enjoy, watering them and taking responsibility, it's not for me, it's for the youth. So I'm definitely trying to teach them how to be responsible and take care of the plants. And they've been doing pretty well. They actually remind me sometimes that that needs to be done. So.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not an engineer like Aaron, but honestly, that's what it, yeah. Just real quick, I know I'm going to answer my question, but it pays off to be an engineer in that case, because you can make your own irrigation system like that, and that's very genius. And if you want to send me your plans, I'll hire someone to maybe make it for myself. But how does gardening fit into my daily, weekly, or monthly routine? So because I'm in New York and it's pretty much like the end of the season, August 3rd, I'm pretty much done with all of my gardening per se. I should be preparing, thank you for reminding me, for my fall, I guess, harvest. But during March and April, pretty much every morning I would wake up around 6 or 7 a.m., sometimes 8 o'clock, and I would water the plants. My aunt would always tell me to water them early in the morning. That's actually a myth. You could water them at whatever time you can water them, but I like to still water them in the early morning. And in the morning I would prune my tomatoes because I have indeterminate tomatoes, which means that they grow as much as you support them to grow. So I would prune my tomatoes, and the other plants that I have in the beginning of the summer, they were just coming out. Unfortunately, because I didn't plan correctly, my beets didn't come as well as I wanted them to, my Brussels sprouts didn't come as well as I wanted them to, and my carrots were like this small. So, but how does that fit into my routine? Just, you know, waking up in the morning, primarily pruning my plants and watering them. And then in the afternoon, more like the later evening, is when I would maybe like move some plants around, think about what I should plant here, what I should plant there. But you never should move plants in during the day. It's horrible. Always move them definitely during the night or the very early morning.
Nice. Thank you, Esteban. And something that Esteban and Brittany really shared earlier is about learning about yourself and maybe Mother Nature and the world around you. Something that I kind of picked up on, and I've heard this from an African elder, that, you know, when you grow, when you have your hair growing upwards, it's creating relationship with the sun. Something I realized from Mother Nature is that when your hair grows down, it builds a relationship with Mother Earth. And that type of concepts I really appreciate learning about and seeing in plants and in this type of environment. And so, and patience, I think patience is also something that I've learned about myself and also something that I need to continuously work on. As well as parenting. I feel like parenting is such an important role in planting. I sometimes call my plants my babies, and mm-hmm. right or wrong, it's like my babies, you know, like it's very exciting for me to share that. So for the next question, what have you learned about yourself and all the world or Mother Nature about gardening?
It's fascinating to be able to work with nature. And especially like we all talked about the early mornings, you know, being out in the trial and error. It's certainly, I've learned a lot about patience along with myself and with my plants. It's, you know, a lot of them are, they're determined to grow. You know, they want to be alive. They want nutrients. They need caring. And so that's one of those things you talk about parenting. It's no difference where, you know, some things, depending, you can make something grow anywhere with the right care, with the right tenacity. And that's something that's, that can carry over into who we are, is that we may be in different areas, different stages in our lives, but you know, paying attention to the small things, knowing when they need water, they'll tell you what they need a lot of times. Like for instance, one thing I learned this year with my squash plants is that they naturally wilt during the hot parts of the day, and it's just the kind of conserve as much water from evaporation. And so, you know, they're doing their part to say, you know, I'm going to succeed. I'm going to make it through this hot spell until they get water again, and then they'll pop right up. And it's just one of those. It's just fascinating how Mother Nature has developed each and every plant to be successful in what they're trying to do, which is produce fruit.
What have I learned about myself? Well, this is a tough question. I learned that I need to have a lot more patience. Because I'm always like, why isn't it growing faster? But when they did start growing, I was super excited. So it made me feel a little better. So patience for sure. Discipline, because not only do I have to remember to water them and to make sure that they're, you know, doing what they have to do, but I also have to make sure that the youth are also doing that. So, you know, just making sure that, you know, they understand what they need to be doing, watering, what's the benefits of it. I can't wait until we get to like actually, you know, eat it, because then I feel like they're going to be really excited. And in regards to Mother Nature, I feel like the youth are really learning about how important it is to be able to grow your own vegetables and the benefits of it, health benefits, but also just like mentally, just the act of gardening. So it's a very slow learning process, but I think it's super beneficial and they're enjoying it.
Thank you, Brittany. And something also I like to add is what Aaron said is like the plants will tell you what they need, but they also will tell you what they don't need. Mm-hmm. So sometimes with I had a coastal plant, and it's an indoor plant, I was giving way too much water, and it was dying off, and I was just wondering what is going on here. And so I figured out I was watering it too much, and conceptually I feel like that tends to happen in say a simple relationship. You may give too much love and you see the plant die out. Don't give enough love and you see the plant die out as well. So that kind of like conceptualizes something for me to consider when building relationships or friendships for that matter. Esteban?
What I learned about myself, this is something that I've actually been having difficulty with as a regular human, like all of us are, is the fact of failure. Because as a gardener, you have to understand that your plants are going to die. And it's something that's so like ridiculous to think about when you're planting, but it happens. And you have to accept that before you actually start gardening, because of the fact that you're not going to get everything. You're not going to like, everything isn't going to come out of the ground perfectly. The first time you actually plant it. And I learned that, I learned it before, like I learned it while my aunt was here living with me. But this year it especially hurt because I had some plants that I wanted to come out and they didn't come out, unfortunately. So failure, embrace failure. Fail is a first attempt in learning. That's an acronym. So that's what I learned. Also, what I learned about myself is I just have to have patience, like everyone else said, and just learn to just be happy. Like be happy in terms of like what happens. Say something like, say for example, I had strawberries in my garden. I did not plant any strawberries. I bought them only one plant of strawberries, and then it turns out sometimes those propagate to another part of your garden. Mm-hmm. So just expect the unexpected when you're gardening. And sometimes the unexpected is your plants dying. So just expect that. What I learned about the world or Mother Nature, just respect it. The plants will tell you when they need water. The plants, like my cucumber plants right now, they're extremely wilted because I think an animal like chewed at its like its root. So it's pretty much dying and I just have to accept it. But thankfully, I have other plants that are coming out. So just trial and error, honestly. And it's the hardest thing to understand as a gardener starting off. But really, trial and error is going to – you have to keep that in mind all the time.
Also, I just wanted to add on, in regards to the world and what I've learned about, I guess, the world's perception of gardening is that most of the time, I've always heard, like, it's always women who are gardening. Which is why I'm pleasantly surprised to see all on this panel. but when I have a lot of youth who are male, and they were like, I don't want to do that. That's not for me, you know. And it took a lot of conversation to finally like not convince them, but for them to understand like the importance of it and how it's gender neutral. Like, it doesn't matter who's planting. So that was like a world perception that I realized that a lot of people think that gardening is like a woman hobby. Well,
clearly. Interesting. Thank you for sharing. Wow.
Would anyone like to, before we go on to our next question, would anyone like to share what they have heard thus far?
I learned that as far as different walks of life or backgrounds or circumstances that kind of brought us all from different areas, personally, geographically, into the same kind of passion. You know, some of this is, it was thrust upon us. Some of us was curiosity, and then some of us it's just, you know, for me it's I'm a collection of hobbies, and so this is just one of many hobbies that I like doing. It's just I had to find a way, talking about engineering, find a way to make it where I can do as least work as possible and get the most gain. So yeah, but no, I appreciate conversing with you guys.
Actually enjoyed that, you know, as an engineer, you're able to like actually plan out how you're able to plan garden, especially because, you know, with your busy schedule, I'm sure, and with your kids, it's obviously going to be difficult to be able to do that. But I'm excited to, you know, hopefully see the growth with yourself and also with the kids and the passion that hopefully they get to also get from the gardening. And also you're just very, very knowledgeable on the topic and the, I don't know, I guess it would be like scientific background of it. So I'm always excited to hear what you have to say about it. And then Esteban, for you, it's a lot of cultural, and just familial ties to it. So I feel like, it is very impactful that you were able to take, you know, follow in your aunt's footsteps. And be able to, you know, realize that you did have a passion in it. And I'm glad that you like continued, continued to garden as well. And you actually reminded me that my grandma has a garden in our kitchen and I never even paid attention to it. We live in like a small apartment, but there's like peppers and tomatoes like on the windowsill. Yeah. And I never really like, I was like, okay, it's just there, whatever. But she uses it. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. More plants. But but she like uses the stuff to cook, and that just, you know, it like was dinged in my mind. Like, oh my gosh, obviously that also is in my family too. So it's cool to hear other people's stories.
It's cool to see the different types of environments, urban gardening, and then obviously you can see like where you are in Texas, just a more like open field. You have probably like an acre. I don't know, like an acre of land you could plant on, or just a bigger space than say my quarter acre of property that I have here in New York. But it's just interesting to see the different perspectives that exist in terms of gardening, whether it be, again, like I said, a more urban environment or a suburban environment. So it's pretty cool.
So right now I'm in a townhome with what you see is kind of where it is. So I don't even have raised beds. They're all in pots. So I'm in pot gardening, not gardening pot, but gardening in pots.
Damn it. So for our next question, why is it important for Latinas to garden moving into the 21st century?
In today's society, it's all about instant gratification. You know, people want things right away. My business, I'm in telecommunications. So my job is to create networks that makes net communication even faster, right? So I did a lot of work on 4G networks. I'm doing some work in a private LTE network right now, doing the design of it. And so that's something that gardening, it's, as you said, Brittany, it's not instantaneous. You have to wait. Sometimes you'll have some plants that are in a hurry to produce, and sometimes you don't. With what we've all discovered is you also have to be resourceful. It's very important lesson to learn for today's use, as far as you know, creating things with what you have. Right. So we all don't have bees. I'm actually in my patio. I do have some bees that came in, but most of my has been hand pollination. And that's been trial and error as well. Just to say the best times, which is mornings, the right time to do it, the best methods of doing it. So for today's 21st century people, learning about themselves and learning that, you know, patience, things that are worth having, take time, and then also, you know, learning to be resourceful, ingenuity.
Let me start again. Because of COVID, a lot of our families were out of work. They didn't have any type of income, so buying fresh vegetables is obviously more expensive than buying cans or getting cans from food pantries. Obviously, if we were to already have a garden available for them to come and pick their own vegetables, it would have been obviously a lot easier for them. So I think that not only did we have to start our own garden, but we also gave our family seeds for them to start gardening at their home as well. Now, it is a bit more difficult because a lot of our families are low income. They live in a bedroom or a small apartment. So for them, they don't really have an area, or, you know, a small setting or whatever for them to garden, which is why we decided to start it, at our office. So that way they can at least be able to get some type of vegetables at the office. But it's obviously important because in times like these where, you know, finances are low, they can't rely on going to the store and buying it, at least in the future. Well, hopefully something like this doesn't happen again, but if it were to happen, we'd be prepared and won't have to rely on donations or money to have to, you know, get fresh vegetables.
Because of the fact that, unfortunately nowadays, the stereotype of millennials and the stereotype of really like kids that are coming up in this new age are selfishness of, instant gratification, like our panelists said. So I think, this is a really good way for all peoples, not just Latinos or Latinas, just all people to kind of like appreciate the values of hard work. You know, I don't want to quote the Bible here, but in Galatians 6:9, it says, "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we reap if we do not give up." And I think that value of hard work and that value of sacrifice is kind of lost in a lot of generations nowadays because of the fact that there's instant gratification in terms of social media. A like can, for some people, is enough for them to survive throughout the whole day. And being a teacher myself, I have this experience because of the fact that a lot of my kids, when they were in quarantine at home, they were kind of bored not doing anything at home when they had access to all types of social media accounts the whole day. So it kind of like made them realize that, all right, this really isn't as cracked up as it is to be. But say hypothetically, if maybe they were growing a vegetable and they saw that vegetable develop into an actual, you know, into a product that they can eat, maybe they would value that more. So I think definitely hard work, determination, seeing something through is definitely something that all types of people can embrace, especially in the 21st century.
Thank you, everyone. And so for our next question, how can gardening be more accessible for slow socioeconomic people?
One of the biggest things, I haven't had an experience of a community garden, but that seems to be the best method of pooling resources. I've seen a lot of people that they love carrying over seeds from pasts. You know, there are some vegetables you have to be careful for across
pollination,
right? Because then you can't reuse those seeds. But there's a lot of vegetables that you can harvest seeds, reuse seeds under the best methods that comes in handy. And then also being resourceful in finding. There's a lot of things. I found a lot of free pots. You go to, if you can go to any local places, big chain stuff, a lot of times you can find a lot of stuff for free. Trellises are something that people throw out all the time when it comes to some of their fencing. Different natures. I've seen a lot of trellises just used from twigs and sticks that have just been tied up and created. And in my case, I've used my trellises I'm using here are, I don't know if you can see them, but they're essentially, my tomatoes are on vines where I've attached cabling, and I have what's called a pulley system where as my indeterminate tomatoes grow up, I can lower them down and keep them going and just move the buckets over or slide them over so that I have a continuously growing trellis versus being stuck. So there's a lot of resources out there. And it's just a matter of just, finding out different ways of doing it and keeping the cost down.
This is a tough question. Specifically here on Long Island, I know that there are parks that have community gardens. Wow, I have no voice. They have community gardens where you can like rent like a plot of land and plant your own whatever you want to plant. But the key word, low socioeconomic people usually are not going to spend whatever income that they have on a plot of land. Mm-hmm. Could there be a way where like these community gardens, if you're under a certain, if you're part of the low socioeconomic group, then you don't have to pay for that plot of land, or it's even cheaper, or I don't know. This is really me brainstorming right now. For me, it was, what can I do to help? I'm going to start a community garden at my job. So that was my way of making it more accessible. And I know that there are a lot of other schools that have community gardens that the kids can pick from. And there are a lot of places where they offer, you can go and pick the vegetables. But also another issue is that people who are in that category, I guess, usually don't know about these community gardens and therefore don't have access to it, or don't know how to get to the place, or don't have a car to even get there, because usually these parks are not where they live. So those are all different barriers that come up. For us, if we have produce, if we have vegetables, and our families can't get there, we drive, pick them up, and drop it off at their house. But we can only do so much, and we have the families on our caseload, but there's a lot of families out there who aren't on our caseload and need the help, so it gets a little bit more difficult. Oh, and also grants. Like, we can apply to grants who can give us money to then be able to, provide for our community garden and maybe make it bigger or something like that. But that's people having to rely on nonprofits, which is a whole nother obstacle. So there's layers to this, I guess.
I think for low socioeconomic peoples or every person, the word gardening has to fundamentally change for everyone, because of the fact that gardening could be putting a pot outside your windowsill to be able to grow whatever you want to grow. Being that I work in Bushwick, for example, there's a lot of just brick brownstones and a lot of houses that are like really, really together. So by fundamentally changing the definition of gardening for those low socioeconomic people, we would be able to promote more gardening in those communities, along with programs such as like information on how to start container bed gardening, which is really valuable and resourceful because it only takes a small amount of space and you could pretty much take advantage of that small amount of space. Having said that, most of my tomatoes, actually all, pretty much all of them, are actually in a container. I'm container gardening tomatoes. And I bought them at Home Depot. It cost $8 for a big, I think it was like, what, like 15 or 20? No, I think it's like actually like, whatever I tell you, I'm lying. Maybe it's like 15 or 20 gallons of soil that I fit in that container garden, but it's produced like, I'd say about, maybe about three or four weeks worth of tomatoes.
Wait, so like really plastic fun container?
I could show you right now. Is it cool if I show them, Cisco? Yeah. I don't want to ruin your recording. Hold on, let me show you.
It's visuals. Really,
yeah, fundamentally.
That's what I have as well.
Yeah, because I have raised beds and I have container gardening. So look, this is my Home Depot tub tote. It is actually 27 gallons. So
27. Yeah, that sounds about right.
These are my tomatoes right here. But families can really host this in the front of their house before they really go into their house. So it's really about fundamentally changing the way that they view gardening and having the resources to be able, oh my God, wow, that looks amazing.
All my plants. So wow. You're actually right. These are all buckets. I had bean poles, mm-hmm. cucumbers out of here.
Nice.
Tomatoes are still alive, but yeah, you're absolutely right. Is that you don't have to have a plot of land. You can just have buckets.
Yeah.
Strawberries.
Nice.
This is amazing.
Yeah. But I really think like low socioeconomic people or everyone just has to really change their view of what gardening actually is. And I feel like mm-hmm. there needs to be more programs. Maybe I should make my own program of how people can. Yeah, that's how I create actual change. How I could actually like how you could actually grow, say, it could be herbs. Because herbs like basil, cilantro, that can grow in a windowsill easily. And, you know, Latinos use a lot of those fresh herbs. That could be something. But I think it's really, to answer your question and to be concise, really to change the way that we view gardening and also to have programs that really promote different types of gardening that's sustainable and adaptable to wherever you live.
Everyone for showing your gardens in a sense.
Another time.
I appreciate what you said, Esteban, is because in elementary school, we actually had a gardening lesson of sorts. We had 2 gallons of Coca-Cola bottles, and we put them against each other. And so I think it was like the top half was the plants, and the bottom half was fish. And so you see the fish interact with one another, and then I want to say,
Dude, that's actually a closed ecosystem. Now they say it because the fish pretty much feed on the waste that the plants produce. That's called aquaponics. That's really cool. Wow.
And so there was a whole lesson, whole month's work, even longer. And we actually had like a parent family, so you'd be paired to someone, and that'd be like your husband wife situation.
Yeah. Have fun. That's cool.
Also, about like day one, like so and so is not doing a good job being a parent. And so for our next question, where do you see gardening in the next 10 years? And if you want to focus within your professions, feel free.
I would agree. Hydroponics is certainly a growing trend. Simply because you can garden without needing any kind of earth at all. And so especially in urban environments where you can have it within rooms and the only thing you're really using up is going to be the medium which you're growing it in, the water that's going to be self-sustaining with pumps, and then you can have it inside all day long with lights. And then if you hook it up to solar panels, then even that can be somewhat self-sustaining as well. So I think that I'm already seeing a lot of, especially here, a lot of smaller gardens or farms they're learning that they can have a warehouse, create vegetables, heads of lettuce to sell and make it profitable without having to go out, buy land, which, you know, with a lot of money, upfront money. So I think that we'll see a lot of that more as well as the increased changes with it.
Now that Esteban mentioned the pots, and I mean, Aaron obviously has a bunch of them in his backyard, but I think that's the way that I'd probably see it. Where I work and where I live, is probably a lot of pots in the neighborhood, in front of the houses, on windowsills. And I feel like now I'd be able to, even though at my job we're going to have our own garden, you know, with the ground.
You'll have raised beds?
Raised beds, yeah.
I don't know. Right now they're in pots because we're waiting for the landscaper to cut everything out, or chop everything up, whatever. But go ahead. What happened?
I would suggest doing raised beds, which means you have like a 1x6 wood piece like that, mm-hmm. like pretty much like a square, mm-hmm. and you're going to be able to add your own soil into that specific place. Mm-hmm. And the soil underneath is going to be used, but you should mix it up to be able to actually use like all the soil and the nutrients that's in there. Sorry, I don't want to cut you off.
No, you're good. Don't worry. I'll be in contact with both of you guys.
Gladly, yeah.
Every time I have a problem, I'll be like, what do I do? But anyway, long story short, I think just emphasizing that the families can definitely plant the seeds in pots and be able to have their own little garden, you know, on their windowsill or in their front yard if possible, what is probably the way that I'd see it. I don't know, in the next 10 years, but maybe the next 5 years.
Where do I see gardening in the next 10 years? I see, regardless of what political party is in power, because unfortunately, the sustainability and I guess the ecosystem and preserving it, unfortunately, is a political issue. I see an amplification of all types of gardening, whether it be actually vegetable or like harvest gardening, to just traditional, like, you know, flowers and plants and stuff. But I see an amplification of that in the next 10 years. And I see schools that should be embracing it. I work at a school. I think our school, if we can, we should definitely embrace a type of gardening that we can be doing. But I definitely see in the next 10 years, gardening is going to be more spread, I guess, more evident than it already is, just because of the fact that, you know, as a country, we're realizing that we need to be more self-sustainable, just in all aspects of the word, which includes food as well. But in reality, we have to be self-sustaining just in our home or in our environment itself. So that means really growing your own fruits if you can, even though that fruit is going to support you for at least a month. At least, you know, in a month, I'm not going to be able to have to buy tomatoes, for example.
And actually, what's it called? This is more of a personal question. How, because I have squirrels and I didn't know how much I dislike squirrels until now. They don't eat the food. They actually just take the plants and throw them away. Like, throwing the stuff. So like, how would I, prevent squirrels to be messing on my stuff?
Yeah, luckily I haven't had to deal with squirrels. So the only thing I have to worry about is a one-year-old that likes pulling off the little green balls on my tomato plants. And he likes pulling out my irrigation system. So I start watering and I see all this water on the ground that's not going to my plants. So that's my squirrel. One thing I've read about squirrels is one, to get animals, that dogs, cats, that may deter them from doing it. Another thing is to give them something that they will go after. So, you know, if you have a squirrel feeder and you set it aside here, it's going to be so much, it may or may not be so much more tempting than what you may have. So that's another, is deterring by enticing them through another means.
I like that.
I will say, I've heard of netting. Like, you can get some type of
netting
put around the specific fruit. I actually need to look into that because, like I said, they're eating my figs and I really want to try the figs. But like Cisco, you can get some netting for like a specific type of fruit that you want to conserve. Or also, you can also get plants that deter squirrels. Like if you grow like maybe hot jalapenos, that could also help in deterring them, because apparently what they say is the smell deters them, but I don't know if that's scientifically proven.
Thank you, Esteban. Mm-hmm. So time for our last question. What advice do you have or would like to share for Latinas who would like to start gardening?
I would say start small, be it one plant, one type of plants, but multiple. And like we say, they always die. So never just plant one plant and never even plant two plants. I always plant at least, you know, I'll have 12 seedlings that I'll plant from seeds. And then of those, I'll plant those, and, you know, because they'll dwindle down. But start small and learn. Write down your tricks, write down your times, just like cooking, which I do also. It's you have to know what your failures are and learn from them. But, yeah, start small.
Sometimes people are hesitant or, how do I do it? And you learn as you go. So just start, like Aaron said, you know, start with one if you're nervous. But at least start so that you know that, you know, it's possible. Don't doubt yourself and just see where the world takes you or the plants take you.
I'm going to say two things because I talk a lot. One is that embrace failure, embrace it. And it seems so contradictory to what we've been learning in school, but embrace failure, because failure is the first attempt in learning. The second thing that I will say about gardening is grow what you like. Do not grow what you do not like. Because yeah. I can tell you, if you do not like zucchinis, I don't like zucchinis, do not grow them. My mother gave me some zucchini plants to grow, and they're thriving, and I hate them. So, grow what you like.
With yep, that I heard said, that that's all the time that we have. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. For everyone at home, make sure you like the video, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and listen into our podcast platforms from Anchor, Spotify, and Apple Music. Also, comment below and share your gardening tips, resources, and helpful links. Then follow us on all our social media outlets at Latin_entertainment. That is Latin_entertainment. Also, join the Support Latina Business Facebook group and check out our Instagram lives every Tuesday and Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Pacific. See you next week as we discuss spirituality, all here on Conversamos.
Yeah, yo, is it that wrong? I'm making a song, I'm taking it back for the platform that I formed. Music's helping me transform. I run the